All right, we're starting the bottom of Tevavim Bed, four lines up. The Gemara says, "Tanu Rabbanan, in mochrim lahem trisin, you can't sell them shields." Some people say you can't sell them over chavim a shield. So my timel, what's the reason over here? So ilaim mishum demeganu alayhu. Why we don't want to sell them shields is because it protects them. Yachi, if we can't provide them anything, afilu chiti visare nami lo. So then why can we sell them any food products, basic food products? Why are we allowed to sell them wheat and barley? I mean, if you're going to go as far as extent to say that when they have protective weapons, that those you're not allowed to sell them, then go as far as you shouldn't be able to sell them anything. I mean, it's one thing if you can't sell them weapons of aggression, things that they go out and kill with. But we're talking about items that they use to defend themselves. Okay, so now you're ready to take a step further. If you're going to go that far, go ahead and, you know, get rid of everything. Let's not transact with them whatsoever. So I'm a Rav. Rav says, really, I think it should be like the other way around. It says, Rav Rav, ain hochanami, yes, but efshar. It's not. I mean, that we have an efshar hochanami. But the basic point is that, yes, if we had that choice or we had that ability, we wouldn't transact with them. But efshar, right, we can't do it. Now, Rashi says efshar below eva, right, without instigating or creating some sort of animosity between us and the Ovdei Chochavim. Therefore, we don't. Desist from transacting with them in this manner, but in Ochanami, if we had that option or we had the choice, we would take that option up. As Rashi, we've seen a number of Rashis through the Masechta who talks about the numerous reasons why we don't transact or we're trying to avoid transacting, and then all of a sudden we are allowed to do it. And Rashi here says, Eva, we've seen before, Mistafina, that we're embarrassed about it, or the possibility that it's impossible for us, Efshar, all of these types of explanations that come up. Tosfos uses this on the Amud Aleph, yesterday's Zaf on the Amud Aleph, Tosfos uses this to be matir. He says, how do we transact with the Ovdei Chochavim when it comes to Susim, Chamorim, Agalim, right, Vesayachim? We end up selling it to them. So he says, in the end, he quotes this member of Rav, also Efshar. We can't do it. We can't live without transacting with them, without interacting in this manner. Why don't we allow, or what's the reason we would not permit you to sell a shield to them? I mean, it's the weapon of last resort. I mean, until they lose all their other weapons, it's the shield is for protective reasons. But once they've lost the other weapons, then the shield becomes their weapon. And that becomes the weapon of last resort, and therefore we don't sell to them. And some say we do sell them shields. Why? When they're out of weapons, they leave. They run away. I mean, that's the end of the battle. The shield is, they're not going to hang around with the shield. They're going. Some Rav Nachman, Rav Avua, Halacha ki yeshomrim. The law is that you're allowed to sell them shields. And then this is a next couple of memos are very interesting. So Amarav, Arada, Barava. Barzel. You cannot sell them rods of iron. My time. Well, what's the problem with selling them iron? Because they're going to form or forge from them weapons. So we want to offer them items that will allow them to forge weapons. So Yisrael says, okay, if you're going to go far, Nami, if you're going to go so far to say that you can't sell them call it rods of iron, rods of metal that can be forged into weapons, then you shouldn't be able to sell them any item of metallic nature that will allow them to then form it into a weapon or make it into a weapon. So you shouldn't be able to sell a mari, which is like a hoe, hoe or spade, chatzine, which is either a like pickaxe or an adze, one of those two, but these are work items that are normally used with a craft, but you shouldn't be able to sell them to them because then they can forge them or use them for killing. So Amar Rav Zvida Barzala Indoa. We're talking about a very particular type of metal over here. So the uniqueness of this metal, which is Parzala from India, it says Rashi says, it's Hodu Sheno Simuta Elulakle Zion. It's a type of metal that must be very hard or strong, and therefore it's only used to be forged into weapons, and therefore you cannot sell them that type of metal or that rods of iron because for certain they will forge it into weapons. There's no other option. People don't use it except for that purpose because it's too expensive. It's just not useful. Vayidna, this is the amazing line, Dakom Azvinan. What about today? We sell them this stuff. We sell them this metal. We sell them, sounds like even weapons. We sell them all these items. How can we do that? So this is Amar Rav Ashi, the Farsai, the Meganu Ilavan. Sell them to the Persians who defend us. the persons who defend us, mean that they take care of us. They're the local, right, the rulers, and they are nilchamim, as Rashi says, lishmor et ha'ir ve'yit yoshveah. They protect. They don't just protect themselves, they protect anybody or any resident of the city. They don't use the weapons against us, they use the weapons to protect the city itself. And that's what Tosos says over here. Tosos talk in the Middle Ages. Amazing. Nira d'ano nami sharinan. We also are permitted to do this. Hashalim kol ovdei chavim klei zayin mihai taimo. For that reason, we're allowed to sell the non-Jews ovdei chavim in our neighborhood's weapons because they protect us. Right? I mean, talking in their time, it's interesting that they would even say that. I mean, that the weapons were turned against the Jews so many times, I'd be surprised. But he says we could sell the weapons to the authorities because the authorities not only protect themselves, but they protect us, that they work on our behalf. As a resident or a citizen of such a country, those weapons are used to our benefit. Rav Yehuda matir b'shvuro, mipnei she'eno yachol l'itrapot. Rav Yehuda says by a shvuro, it's okay because it can't get better ulachayot and then live and do the normal things that it's supposed to do, which means that it will not have the ability to work. The problem that we have here is we don't want you having an animal that does work, because the whole gzeira is mishum Shabbos. Gzeira of Shabbos means that I don't want you selling items, because then you might come to lend them or rent them out, and then they'll do work on Shabbos. If the animal is incapable of doing work, then there's nothing to talk about, because then you'll never come to that possibility. Now Tosfos on the Mishnah says that the reason the Chachamim are oser shvura is because otu shleima. The person is going to see it in the Ovdei Chachamim's house and going to say, oh, the Jews sold it to him as a shleima, and then it became a shvura in the house of the Chachamim. So it become to matter to sell even shleimim. But Rabbi Yehuda says no, that here, these items, they're broken animals, they are not good for work, they're not going to get better. No, don't they use these animals for mating? Fine, they're not capable of heavy labor, work, but they can still be used for mating, and that's a value, that's malocha, and they'll keep them around. They're not going to shech them right away, they're going to hang around. Right, as long as they're still good for mating, and they're useful to them, they're not going to kill them, they're not going to get rid of them, they're not going to shech them, they're going to use them for the purpose of mating. So he says, when they give birth, you can keep them. Alma lo mekebelet zachar. Rabbi Yehuda's basic statement is, you're not talking about reality. In reality, an animal that's shvura does not mate. And if it's shvura and doesn't mate, then there's nothing to talk about. What you really have here is a machlokes in mitziut between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda, whether an animal that's shvura mates. Because if it mates, then it still has some value left. They're going to keep it around. It's going to be used for some form, quote unquote, of melacha. On the other hand, if it doesn't mate, it's not useful. They're going to shecht it. They're going to use it for its meat because there's no value left in keeping the animal around. So that's what it means. Amar lo mekabelet zachar. Tosfos points out, it's not because it's a treifa, it's that it's eino yoledet. That's not the point here. The point is that even if it, right, isn't a treifa, but a shvura, he says, does not mekabelet zachar. It does not mate anymore.
I'm worried that it's there, even though the shvura came to
Malacha,
right.
So as long as if they're going to shecht it right away, we don't mind. But if they're going to keep it around, then we start to worry. And this the question of whether keeping it around here revolves around whether they will mate or not.
What's the problem keeping it around?
Is that what Tosfos says, that people will see it and say that he sold it as a shleima, and then it became a shvura in the house of the Ovdei Chachamim. So then people will be matir to sell them animals in general. Ben b'teira matir b'sus, Tanya. Ben b'teira matir b'sus, mipnei shu oseh bo malacha. Because it does work that you do not have a chatat for. So again, in the Mishnah we said, Rashi says, that's because it's a sus amyuchad rechiva. Riding, chay noseh atatzmo, person carries themselves. So therefore the horse is not carrying you entirely. He's partially carrying you, but you also carrying yourself. So there is no malacha d'oraita of riding the sus. And therefore, you only have an isur dirabonon that you're dealing with. Ben Matera says, okay. Right, Shvitat Behema of Masuya Behema.
There's two ways to look at this. The answer of riding an animal, right. The animal.
Right. Shema Yiktof. Right. So there's Shema Yiktof. That is the problem in the end. It's Nisu Darabon of Shema Yiktof. But the problem is that the Behema is carrying a Masuya in Shabbos. But that is not the Oraisa anymore because Achai Noseh et Atzmo. And the Rashi said in the Mishnah, that's what I'm about a Sus Amyuchad Rechiva. About a horse that is designated for riding or riding of humans. Right? The Gemara in Shabbos, again, Tosfos brings that on the Mishnah, says that the machlokas between the Chachamim and Ben Beteira revolves around a The fact of whether Chayin Osei Atzmo applies to birds or not. And this is a horse that's used to carry loads. One of the loads that it carries is birds on its back. Is a bird classified as Chayin Osei Atzmo or not? And that's a question of whether the burden on its back is considered a masui or not a masui. That's what the Gemara in Shabbos narrows their machlokas to. That even the Chachamim would agree that if it's a susa miyuchad rechiba, that you're mutar, meaning that it's not a problem, because it's not only an Issa Derabbanan, not an Issa Deoraita.
What is Chayin Osei Atzmo?
Means that a person, you can, to give an example, the best example is if you carry on the baby. And when you carry on a baby, if a baby is dead weight, meaning that they don't help you at all, then they're heavier. If they hold their body up upright and they shift their weight, they actually assist you in carrying the baby. It's easier to carry a baby that holds its own weight than it's just dead weight. Point is that on Shabbos, you have to do the entire melacha. You have to be the one who's carrying the weight here. If the chayz nosei atzmo, then he's also participating in the carrying part, meaning that you're not really carrying the entirety. Right. He has some money. Rabbi Yosef mipnei bentavarim. Rabbi says, right, the two things. Number one, Echam Mishum Torah Kli Zayin. You can't sell it because of weapons. Echam Mishum Torah Bei Magasa. And also because of the problem of Bei Magasa, which is our Mishnah of Shabbos. Bishlam Torah Kli Zayin. Okay, I'm talking about weapons. Why? Ika de Kotil Bisichufe. That some people use the horses to trample during war. Meaning that, I would have answered, I don't know why the Gemara went this way, I would have just said that they're used in cavalry. I mean, what do you have to go this far to say that the horse itself is the killing weapon? But the Gemara went in that way to make it so stark that it's a problem. But I say Klei Zayin is that horses are cavalry. They're used as part of the, you know, it's like selling a tank and saying he's going to drive it on the street. I mean, you sell it, you're going to use it to use in a war. They're not bothering to use it in, in for peaceful means. But anyway, here, the Gemara says Sichufei, which is that they're taught, the animals are taught to take their four legs, their forearms, and to smash down on anybody who they find on the ground to kill them. So therefore, that's what it means in Klei Zayin. El Torat Bei Magasa Mahi. What's the problem of selling a horse for a Bei Magasa? So Amar Rabbi Yochanan Likishi Yazkin, when he gets older, when the horse gets older, they no longer ride it, but Matchinu Bei Rechayim B'Shabbat. But then they put it into the mill and they have it work on Shabbos. And that'll be the problem here, that you have Melocho that is also D'Oraita on Shabbos, and that become the problem is that they can actually do this work. Now, it's interesting because today we look at the horses differently. I mean, the horses are not only used for riding, but they're also used for pulling wagons and so on and so forth, which Tosus mentions in the previous somewhat, that we're selling horses to them not to ride, to the non-Jews. We're selling to the Chavim in order to pull Karonot, to pull wagons. And there it's clear that it's not being used for Rechiva. That's an Isser D'Oraisa, that he's pulling a wagon. But here the Gemara is looking for, it seems that horses were only used for Rechiva. When it came to work, pulling, it was donkeys and oxen that were used in that capacity. Aloha is like Ben Betera. So now, what's interesting over here is that you actually turn out to have a three-way machloket. You have a machloket between Ben Betera, the Chachamim, right, in our Mishnah, and Rabbi over here. Each one of them has a different reason. Ben Betera says it's mutar, right? The Chachamim in our Mishnah says it's asur because of the masui of a fault. In that case, where it's not miyuchad to rechiva of an adam, but it's used also for other masui, and then that's their issues with the ofot. And then Rabbi over here, who says that the problem is klei zayin and behemah gaza, that it actually works and does the mill. So you have a three-way, machloket here, tanaim, about what the status of a sus is. And Rabbi Yochanan says, aloch is like ben beteira. Now that's again, only if it's used in that capacity, and that's what the Tosfos asks. Says, sure, if you sell it for riding, I can understand why today we sell horses to the Obdei Chachavim, but most of them are not for that purpose. He says most of them are used specifically for pulling kronot or pulling wagons. So how do we sell it to them? That's what he dealt with yesterday. Okay, by the way, Shosho Petem Mahu. Now Shosho Petem, here is a Machlokes Rishonim. Most of the Rishonim learn Shosho Petem is a shore that has already been fattened up. It's been fattened up. Obviously, you fattened it up in order to shecht it, to eat it. But Shoshal Petem, that's the story. The other possibility here, Shoshal Petem is a shore that is sold in order to be mifatem it, in order to fatten it up. So those are the two possibilities of what the Gemara is asking over here.
It's
no, no malacha.
So
he'll change his mind. He's changed his mind. Right, so here, but the problem here is basically melacha, and if you have a petem, you shouldn't have a problem with melacha. So the Gemara is going to say now what the question is. Tibay the Rabbi Yehuda, Tibay the Rabbanan. Tibay the Rabbi Yehuda, Ad kan lo shari Rabbi Yehuda, ela b'shvura. According to Yehuda, a shvura can never come and be a work or animal. It doesn't get to that point in time. If you keep it around, you can bring it back to being a work animal, which we're going to see in a second. A shvura that is mifutam, if it loses the weight, it can go back to working. And that is not a permanent situation for it. It's not like an injury, which is permanent. It's something that can be reversed. So therefore, it'd be asur. Odilma filu rabbono lo kaasri otam dame lav shchita koi. That in general, oxen are not used for shchita. And therefore, even when it's a shvura, they said they have the bracha of revi, you have the bracha of mating, and it will get mixed up, also like we said before, with a shleima. But about high, the stomach, the shchita koi, over here, you're selling this animal that's mefutam. Well, you, nobody buys or pays that much money for an animal that's mefutam unless they're going to shecht it. There's no other reason to use it. So I feel the Rabbanan Sharu. Even the Rabbanan would be matir in this case. So Tashma. Damri Behuda Mashmo, Shabbat Rebbe, Ayu Makrivim Shosho Petem Beyom Eitam. It's an interesting story that it's like Romans used to extract from the Jews or from the Beit Rebbe on their holidays a Shosho Petem. That he used to have to give a Shosho Petem. Over here, Rashi says about Shosho Petem, Ramudat Bizayon Haita. That it was a very difficult and unpleasant work to do, or labor. So that means that they asked for the Shor Shel Petem, they wanted the benefit, so they imposed the tax on Beit Rebbe, that they are the ones who do the pitum, and then they give it to them as a gift on their holidays. So obviously Rebbe was not happy with this, that this tax being imposed on them on their holiday, means that they're giving. That means that they have to give a Shor Shel Petem to the Ovdei Avodah Zarah around their holiday. So Chaser Dalet Rivivan, so the Rebbe bribed them and gave 40,000 zuz, or whatever it was, 40,000 of some sort of currency coinage, that bribed them so that they wouldn't have to give it on the day of the holiday, but the day after. Right, in order to take it a little bit away, so it wouldn't be so connected to the Avodah Zarah. So he asked for it to be the day after and not the day of. Then, Choser Del Abibam, he did another bribe of 40,000, Shein Mekirin Oto Chayel Shachut, that they were able to present it, not alive, but already shechted, that they could give them the meat. I mean, it came from the butcher, not from the animals, from the shepherds. They were able to give it directly when it was shechted already. Then, Chasad Dalet Rivavan, he gave it another bribe of 40,000, Shein Mekirin Oto Elo Kol Ikar, that they didn't have to pay, give it at all. So the way some learn it, that this all happened, at, you know, piece by piece in 1 year. The others, like the Rabbeinu Chananel, learned that this happened year after year. In the first year, Rebbe bribed them to move it back a day. Second year, he bribed them that they won't have to give shachut. The third year, he bribed them so they wouldn't have to give it at all. But that's the idea here. If you remember back on, I think it's Dav Yud, where we talked about Antoninus and Rebbe, the advice that Rebbe gave to Antoninus when getting rid of the Romans that were bothering him, he says that do it purta purta. Do it piece by piece, small in small increments. Meaning that when you go ahead and kill out the Rome, don't take them all on at once. Do it piece by piece. And you see Rebbe doing the same thing over here, which is that he's taking them a piece by piece. He said he bribed him, got him a little piece, move it back. And each year, you know, he moved it a little bit until he got to his desired outcome. I think too, what you were thinking about also with Antoninus was that he gave him the money and he said to him, your children are going to need this to pay off my children. But this idea here that they're going to need money to bribe the Romans to deal with the Roman governors. That's it. Right? Right. It's not Babe. It's Beit Rebbe. So. Now the Gemara says, "V'chi." Now the Gemara goes back. Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped something. Okay, my time up. Why did Rebbe do this? What was Rebbe worried about? He's giving them a shor shel petem, which is going to end up getting shechted. Why did he have to get rid of this whole issue? He says, "Dilma ata l'shuye." His problem was that he wanted them to. He's afraid they're going to keep it around. If they keep it around, then it becomes problematic. So Rebbe says, "Utamech shem mekivim ato yom elo machar my time." Why would Rebbe bribe them to move it from today till tomorrow? And that doesn't change the fact that Atali Shuye, if he gives a shecht the meat, yeah, sure, okay, once it's dead, they're not going to keep it around. The meat's going to go bad. But when it's alive, why would he bribe them just to move it back a day? That doesn't change the status if they're going to be Shuye or not Shuye. Right, I'm saying, obviously, that's, so the reason isn't that they're Atali Shuye. The problem is there are other problems here. Ella Rebbe mi Akar Milto Boy, he wanted to uproot this custom. He did it in gradual steps. So now the Gemara asks the question, Barya, Vavid Malacha? Now the underlying assumption here is that if they keep it around, it'll be able to do work. Is that true? Is it true that if you keep it around, it'll be doing work? Now, otherwise, there's no reason to keep it. Shor Shel Petem is nice and big and fat now, so you want to shecht it right now. The only reason to keep it around is it'll do work. But is that true? an animal that's gotten to that size, will it ever go back to doing work? So Amarav, Ashi, Amarli, Zvida, Bar Torah. So Zvida happens to be a Mifatim. He was, his job was to fatten up cows. And he told me, Bar Torah, Mishayin Le, Va'obid Al-Chad Train. If you take a shore that's Mifutam and bring it back to its normal size, it does double the work. It's twice as effective. Right? A animal now can do more than an animal that was not so fat before. So now you have a bigger problem. Now you really have an incentive to keep such a shore around. So now you understand what the problem is. Shoshal Petem Mahu is that there is a good incentive to keep the animal around. Sure, you bought it for the fact that it was fattened up. But now if you bring it back to work size, it will do twice the labor of any other shore. Now there's a lot of value in that. So there's a big reason to believe they're going to keep it around. Or the other way around, which is the way I think the Tosafot and others, Rabbeinu Tam mentions about the fact that they kept it, that this was a shorshal petem, which means that they were going to fatten it up, and then they ended up changing their mind and using it for malacha. Right, so those are the two possibilities of the problem here, and that's why we say shorshal petem mahu, what's the din over here. Right, so that's why the Gemara is asking, even though we know around before about shvura, we know all these other dinim. But the din here is different because shorshal petem has this other nuance to it, which is that when it loses its weight, it's twice as effective. And therefore there's an incentive to keep it around. There's an incentive to have it lose the weight and then be useful in malacha afterwards. And that would be cause us to desist from selling these items to the of the chavim, because it can come, and if it hangs around, you have the same problem again of selling shvarim to of the chavim, that other people are going to learn from this to sell even a shorshal petem. All right, now, ein mavrin, ein machrin lahem dubim varayot. We do not sell to them lions and bears. V'chol davar sheish bo nezek derabim. Anything that causes general havoc or destruction within the public. Ein bonim imahem. You cannot build with them basiliki, which is obviously a basilica. Rashi over here quotes the basilica based on the Gemara. We're going to see later on today, the Gemara, that it's a tirag voa, it's a large or high platform that they used to be danim bnei adam. They used to hold court over there, and if they decided that he was guilty, they used to use it as the executioner's platform as well and push him off of this high platform. So you can't bring a basiliki. Gardum. Gardum is probably a scaffold or a gallow, which was also an executioner's scaffolding or a gallow. It's stadia, which would obviously be a stadium, but this is a stadium that's used for, you know, animal fighting, gladiator fighting, right? Ubima. And you can't build with them a bima. Bima over here, Rashi says it's a tall tower that they use. And again, all of these they use for something to push, an executioner's tower. That they used to push people off this tower. And Rashi makes the claim, all of these are surim. He says, these all these problems are public problem of a public policy. You don't want these people at the end to have these. Why? So that a Jew will not be caught there. Asul if nothing, man, therefore you cannot build with them. My underlying assumption here is that you can't build these with them when they have laws that are perverted or where they're persecuting Jews. I mean, if they keep civil law, right, and a Jew is in violation of civil law, true that we don't want to build these items, we don't want them causing capital punishment to a Jew. But if they are, in a sense, they are doing something that is not ridiculous or not a problem with public, a danger to the public, I'm not sure if that the Easter would apply necessarily. Here the Easter is around the fact that they're going to misappropriate these items. I just think it's a perversion of justice that Rashi's after here. If it's a perversion of justice, then we worry about it. I mean, that we don't want you participating in something that Jews are later going to be persecuted with. I mean, the same thing as selling weapons to them that are going to be turned against the Jews. We don't want that happening. All right, now, aval bonim imahem, you can build with them bimosiot. Now, Rashi says bimosiot, which is very difficult. Rashi says bimosiot are a equivalent of what's called a matzeva, as opposed to mizbeach. Mizbeach is made out of many stones. A matzeva is a single stone that they are makrivan. Rashi calls this a problem. It's a problem of two steps removed from the avodah zarah, because you have the bimus, and then they're makriv, the animal on the bimus, and that's the tikrovet, the avodah zarah. So you have the avodah zarah, you have tikrovet, the animal, and then the bimus itself, which is the even achat, is like the altar of sorts that they use to be makriv the animal on it. So that's what Rashi says, by the way, in the last. He says, korin lo altar. That's what they call it. It's an altar. It's very hard to argue that that's not part of the Avodah Zarah. And Tosus himself, it's actually Tosus not on this Amud. It's on the next Amud. He says, Perish Bima Shel Evan Achad. And Tosus says, I don't understand. I don't know how Rashi could say that this is not Tegrobet, the Avodah Zarah. He says, that's directly used towards Avodah Zarah. And then he brings down Lekach Nira Lari, Kegirsot Aruch. That the Girsot over here is not Bimosiot, but rather Dimosiot, with a Dalet. Dimosiot bedalet, v'hu lashon merchatzaot. It's a type of bathhouse. A dimosiot is a dalet, is a part of merchatzaot, which we'll see again is the next thing in the Mishnah. And the Rashbam says dimosiot are not bathhouses, but rather some sort of building that is used for, some public building that is not used for Avodah Zarah. That's the way the Rashbam learns it. But either way, the Rashbam probably did that because the next line in the Mishnah is Bimosiot Ubeit Merchatzaot. The next thing is a bathhouse. So if you say Dimosiot is a bathhouse like the Oroch, then you have bathhouse. So that makes sense, unless these are different types of bathhouses, the Dimosiot versus the Beit Merchatzaot. So those you're allowed to build with them. Bathhouses, again, which are items that are used for the public benefit, that aren't involved in Avodah Zarah. Now, Higia the Kippah, if you reach the point where, you know, some sort of lintel, or that, you know how they have some apse inside of the bathhouse, inside of that apse, they used to put a pesel of Aphrodites, so they used to put it in there. So when you reach that point, or that place where you're gonna put the pesel, you don't get involved with that part. Higia the Kippah, Shomidim Ba'udah Chavim, Asur Livnot, don't build that part over there. You build everything else, the parts that are useful to people, don't build the part that deals with the Avodah Zarah. So now, Amar Rav Chanan Bar Rav Chista, Vramid Amar Rav Chanan Bar Ravo, Amar Rav, Chaya Gasa, Harei Kibayim Adaka, the Pirkus. When it comes to a Chaya Gasa, now, as if we have a Behema Gasa, and we have a Behema Adaka. Behema Gasa are those animals that are ra'ui for labor, for work. Behema Adaka are animals that are used for their production. That means milk production, wool production, but they're not useful for their work necessarily, and not necessarily even for their meat. They're more useful for what they produce. Now you have here a Chaya Gasa, which will be a large Chaya, which is useful supposedly for its work. Now the Chaya Gasa are Hig Behema Daka Le Pirkus. Says the same thing as Behema Daka when it comes to Pirkus of Alola Mechira. Now Mechira is what our Mishnayot are dealing with, is selling. We know that your Behema Daka, the din is Mechira is subject to Minhag. Behema Gasa is Asur Legamre. So here the Gemara says Chaya Gasa has a din not like Behema Daka, means it has a din like Behema Gasa when it comes to Mechira. Which means that you may not sell a Chaya Gasa to an Ovid Kochavim, just like you may not sell a Behema Gasa to a Goy. Now what about the Pirkos? The Pirkos part has to do with an animal that is sick, or it's in its death throes. And what do? You jump in and you shecht it so that the meat will remain kosher and not be an Avela. How do I determine that your Shechita killed the animal and that it didn't die of natural causes? How do I know the difference? You shechted it when it was on its edge, it was about to die, and you shechted it. How do I know your shechita killed it, and the animal didn't die before? So the Gemara says that any normal animal, when it is shechted, for a behema dako, the animal will move one of its legs forward and backwards. It has to move it in two directions. That's the, you know, the final act, or the fighting that it does. When it gets a shechita, it will move its leg back and forth. If it does not move its leg back and forth, that means it died before your shechita was complete. That's the test for it. By Behema Gasa, the requirement only is that it moves it in one direction, not in both directions. So that's what the Gemara says here. Chaya Gasa, Yike Behema Daka, Lepirkus. When it comes to the shechting of a Chaya Gasa, it has to move its leg in both directions in order to be considered kasher and not avela, that it didn't die before your shechting. So basically what you now have here is that you're going the Chumra on both sides. Going to Chumrah by Shechita and saying it needs Pirkos, it needs back and forth like a Behema Daka. And by Mechira, you make it like a Behema Gasa, which means you can't sell it to the Ovdei Chachamim. It's getting both Chumrot. Vani Omer, that's Rav's position. Rav Chanan or Rav Chanan says, I say, after Mechira. Even for Mechira, it's classified as a Behema Daka. So now they bring our Mishnah. Makom shenagulim mekor mochrim, shalolim mekor ein mochrim. Right, so that's the minhag, meaning that what's where behema daka, right? The din of a behema daka is that the makom of the minhag is that's what you do. Now it's not our Mishnah. Ein mochrim lehem dubim varayot lo kol davar sheyesh bo nezek derabim. Can't sell anything that causes damage to the rabim. So Nagama says taimo deit bei nezek derabim. The problem over here is what? It does damage. Aval halet bei nezek derabim was something that doesn't do nezek derabim. Shori. Then it would be mutar. Who's that like? That's exactly like Rav Chanan and Rav Chanan. This position that a Chaya Gasa has a din like a Behema Daka. That it would be mutar to sell them. Had it not been something that's not, make, does Nezek the Rabim, it would be mutar.
It's not exactly
as well. So here, it's mutar to sell it unless it's Makom Shenagu. I mean, it's not a Mishnah. No, the Mishnah is dealing with Esser and Heter. We're dealing with the makom shenagu. Those are two different issues. Here, it's mutter to do it. Now, if the makom shenagu, then you can't be matir in front of them. But mi'ikar adin, mi'ikar isur, there's no isur here. That's what the deal from the mission is. Samar avavula. No, our mission is talking about an ari shavur. A broken ari. An ari that is injured. A lion that is injured. Balibo de Rabbi Yehuda. And our mission, according to Rabbi Yehuda, says what? Shvura, you're allowed to sell. So what we're talking about over here is an ari shvura. And every shvura, you're allowed to sell. And that's what the mission is being matir to sell over here. But that's the deal, right? The ari shvura. So if it does nezek l'rabim, you can't sell it. But if it doesn't do nezek l'rabim, then you can sell it because it's an ari shvura, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rashi Amar, stam ari shavur hu etzel melacha. Lions aren't used for work. They're not work animals. It doesn't have to be a shvura. Even a healthy lion, even a non-injured lion, is not useful for any work. So when you sell it to them, if it's not nezek l'rabim, nobody's going to confuse this and say, I can sell animals to them that are useful for work. Because an ari is not a work animal. It just doesn't do work. If it doesn't do work, that's the heter over here in the mission. That's the deal. If it doesn't do nezek l'rabim, that's why you can sell it. Because these aren't work animals. And therefore we don't have the gzeirah Shabbos. Shabbos is not an issue anymore when it comes to an ari. Now, Rashi says that based on this, by behemah gasa, Rabbi Yehuda would say, by other behemot gasot, that it's a shvura, it's mutar. About the Rabbanan, asur. According to Rabbanan, it would be asur. And then, according to Rabbi Yehuda, also, only an ari shvura would be mutar. Tosus disagrees in Rashi and says that even the Rabbanan, the Ri says even the Rabbanan would agree over here, that the Rabbanan only aser because maybe you'll act to the memar that you're selling a shlema. But by an ari, nobody's going to come to say, if you sold an ari shvura, that people are going to come to sell animal shleimim. It's just not. It's out of the parsha. Why? Because an ari shvura not in the parsha of melacha, which so meitavei. So now we have a question. Kashem shein mochim lehem beim agasa, kach ein mochim lehem chaya gasa. Now we have a brisa, right? A tosefta that's explicit like Rav. That a chaya gasa and a beim agasa have the same din. Even in a place where the minog is to sell behemot dakot, chayagasa imochim lem. We don't sell chayagasa to yuftu, the rachanan ba'aba to yuftu. This is a straight out problem for Rav Chanan and Rav Chanin. This is the problem because this is explicit that we treat them chayat gasot, like behemot gasot when it comes to the din of mechira. Right, so now Ravina and Rami matnitana braita. Ravina learned it a different way. He created a steer between the Mishnah and the braita. How do you do this? Mishani. And then he learned it. It's not. Ein mochin lehem dubim variot. Velo kodovar sheyesh bo nezek l'rabim. Time adui b'nezek. Halet b'nezek mochrim. Very mini. And now he brings down the braita to the sefta we just brought. Shem shem mochin lehem behem agasa. Kach ein mochin lehem chaya gasa. How do you reconcile between these? Afil makom shem mochin lehem daka chaya gasa ein mochrim. U'mishani. Now he reconciles between the Mishnah and the Braita. The Mishnah seems to indicate a Chayagasa is okay, and the Braita seems to say a Chayagasa is not okay. How do I reconcile? The reconciliation is Mishani, Bari Shavur, Bali Bid Rabbi Yehuda. Talking about an Ari that is injured, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and then Ravashi Amar, Stam Ari Shavur, Weitzel Malacha. So the two answers that we gave before to explain our Mishnah not to be a proof of Rav Chanan or Rav Chanan, now he learns it as a stira between the Mishnah and the Braita, and to reconcile between them, he uses these answers to reconcile between them. He explains the Mishnah, so the Mishnah is no longer a stira with the Braita. Okay, Matkifla Rav Nachman, Man Leimelon Dari Chayagasa. How do you know that a lion is a Chayagasa? Dima Chayadakahi. Maybe it's a Chayadaka. Who says it's a Chayagasa? In that maybe the deal out of the mission is that, to sell an ari, but it's a klarabim. If it's not as a klarabim, then you could sell a behemadak, you could sell a chayadaka. Who says the deal because a chayagasa out of the mission? So the lion, I assume the question is like this. A lion's a huge animal, so maybe it should be a gaso. On the other hand, maybe it's a daka because it doesn't do work. It doesn't do anything that's useful. I'm assuming that's the question. Rabashi daik mimatnita, and he learns it out of our mishnah, umotiv tiyufta. Right, it says, and therefore, then he gives an answer. Why? It's not. Ein mochin lehem dubim bariot of lo kodavar sheish bo nezek l'rabim. Taimod di bein nezek l'rabim. Had let lehem nezek l'rabim mochrim. U taimod aristam. An aristam. Arishavuru, it's a malocha. The reason is that it's an aristam, and arvir shavu, it's a malocha. Ava mide achrina dovin malocha, no. But if it was anything else, then it would be no. So that would be tiyufta, the Rav Chanan Barava tiyufta. So he learns right out of the Mishnah. He doesn't even go to the Braisa. Right out of the Mishnah, he has an answer. Number one, you're not right about this. It is a chayagasa, not a chayadaka. Why? Otherwise, why did the Mishnah use the example of Ari? Right? Why do you have to get involved in Ari? Just say chayadaka. The fact that the Mishnah uses Ari and not chayadaka comes to teach you that the Ari is not a chayadaka. It's not an example of chayadaka. It's particular or unique to this Ari. And what is particularly unique to this Ari? That according to Ravashi, that it's shavur l'melacha. That Ari is not useful for work. And that's the whole meaning of this Mishnah. It's a chayagasa that is not useful for melacha, and therefore, if it's not mazik the rabbim, you can use it, or you can sell it. If it's mazik the rabbim, you can't. But any other animal wouldn't be possible. And so our Mishnah is particular about saying Ari and nothing else, and therefore it means that, or the conclusion would be, that a chayagasa is a din of a behema gasa. Now, Amar says, and asks the basic question, which is, okay, if the definition, like you were asking just now, David, definition of a gas is that it does work. Chayagasa miyat may malach abdo. What work does it do? So Amar Bai, Amar Li Mar Yehuda, Debeye Mar Yochani, Tachane Rechaim Barodi. That they used to have their mills, their, were turned by an arodi. An arodi is a wild donkey. So this is a chaya. That is gasa. So they can do it. They bring them in and they tie them up to the mills to turn the mills so that the mills can be used. So we see that their wild animals, are chayot kusot, are put to work in the mills. And therefore there is something, or there is an ability for them to do such a work. So Amar Rab Zeirik, Yavin Bei Rab Yehuda, Amalan, Gmiro Minai, Ha Milto, to Migavar Rav Shmieli. Says, learn from me this item, because I heard it from somebody great. V'loyadani mi Ravi mi Shmuel. Rab Yehuda learned both by Rav and by Shmuel. Says, I learned it from one of them, but I'm not sure if it's from Rav or from Shmuel. But this is the din. Chayagas Arhi Gebehema Daka Le Pirkus. And the Chayagas is a din of a Behema Daka Le Pirkus, which is what we saw at the beginning of our Gemara here. Kiata le Korkunaya. When I reach Korkunaya, Ashkach Te the Rab Chir Barashi. I found Rab Chir Barashi. Yotiv Kamar Mishmei the Shmuel. He said in the name of Shmuel. Chayagas Sari Kabeima Daka Le Pirkus. The Chayagas is a din like Behema Daka Le Pirkus. I mean, that's move its leg back and forth in order to be considered Shechte. So Amina Shmamina Mishmei the Shmuel Itmar. Then I say, you know what? Oh, must be Shmuel who said it. Kiata the Surah. I got Surah Ashkei the Rabba Bar Yirmiya. Tiyati Bekamer Le Mishmei the Rav. And he's saying it in the name of Rav. That Chayagas Sari Kabeima Daka Le Pirkus. Amina, Shmamina, Itmer Mishmei the Rav, Itmer Mishmei the Shmuel. I said, now I know that it was said both in the name of Rav and in Shmuel. That means that they both said this. Kisalik tahatam, when I reached Eretz Yisrael, Ashkach Teh the Rav Asi, Ephem Rav Asi, Yotiv Kamar, Amar Rav Chamar, Beguria, Mishmei the Rav. Right, he says, Rav Chamar says the name of Rav, Chaya Gasar, here, Kabeim Adakala Perkus. Amilei, Velo Savalar Mar, the Mon Mor, the Shmaitata, Rabba Bar Yirmiya. Don't you think that the one who said this memo is Rabba Bar Yirmiya? Because when he was in Surah, it said Rabba Bar Yirmiya, Amar Rav. So he was the one who got the memo from Rav. Why are you quoting it in the name of Rav Chamar Bar Guria, Mishmei the Rav? You have the wrong Masorah here. Samalei, Pat Yuchma, you black pot. So now black pot here, I assume he's saying it in a complimentary manner. But black pot is something that gets black because of usage and work. So he's telling you, you're a big Talmud Chacham, you work hard on your Girsa'ot to make sure that you have the rear Girsa and to keep your Talmud, right, Mesudar. So that's what he called him. And Rashi adds in there, Kancho Tabni Chamish, Mitzdarin on Limut Torah, Veinam Mechabsim Big Dehem. They're so busy with learning Torah that their clothes are dirty because they don't have time to do their laundry. But the idea was that he was in a complimentary saying that you are a big Talmud Chacham. Minay minoch tistayim shmaita. Between the two of us, we can come up with the right solution, which is itmar nami. That's the way we'll say it. Amar Rab Zera, Amar Rab Asi, Amar Rab Bar Yirmiya, Amar Rab Chamar Bar Guya, Amar Rab. That'll be the Mesorah. The chain of the Mesorah will be this way. I mean, the itmar nami is that they'll work this way. That you'll have this will be the order. Chayagas Ari Gvei Medak Lepirkus.
That's it.
Right, not saying that it's not Mishmei Shmuel, but if you're going to quote in the name of Rav, this should be the Mesorah, this should be the Shoshelet Halacha. Now, Ein Boni Mehem, you're not allowed to build these items with them. So, Amar Rav Barchan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Gimel Basilkalotein. There are three types of basilicas. Shel Malcheo Dekachamim, the ones that are built for the palace of the king. Shel Merchzot, those are the bathhouses. Shel Otzarot, and these are the storehouses that are made for the storehouses of the king. Amrav Beis the Heter, Bet the Heter, VeEchad Yisur. Two are okay, one is bad. Siman, I'll tell you which one is bad. Lesor Machayim Zikim should tear up their kings in chains, which means that the one that you built for the king is problematic, because the one that you built for the king they use for the courts, and then they execute people there by the king. They're all Musar. What about our Mishnah? Boni Mahem Basilaki, Gardum Itzdadio Bima. Ema Shel Gardum, Vishel Itzdadio Shel Bima. That it's a Basiliki Shel Gardum, Basiliki Shel Itzdadio, Basiliki Shel Bima. Basiliki is basically a semicircle building with large colonnades, right, in it. So they can make this, that could be the executioner's platform, it could be the stadium that they built in this manner. I mean, it's a style of building, not necessarily the building itself. So that's why you'd read the Mishnah in order to get around this problem. All right. All right, we'll stop here. The next story, it's a very interesting story, but the story really continues all the way into tomorrow's daf. Goes in pretty far into tomorrow's daf, so I'm going to stop here. And we'll continue with the story about Rabbi Lazar tomorrow.